My name is William Griggs, host of the Startup Slingshot TV, a show that delivers guidance from experienced entrepreneurs and business experts on how to dream, launch, and grow your business. If you're interested in learning how to craft a powerful value proposition that can help you land investors and customers, you're going to want to stay tuned into this episode with Chris Hanks. Chris is the director of the entrepreneurship program at the University of Georgia and a verified value proposition guru. On this episode, I'm going to talk with Chris about why you need a value proposition and the impact it can have on your business. Enjoy. All right, Chris, thanks for joining us today.
No, hey, thank you so much. I really looking forward to it, and gives me a good excuse to sort of take a break from grading exams.
Yeah, see, what you have to realize is the students, I mean, they're important and all, but you got to continue to make a name for yourself.
Absolutely.
And that's what we're here to help you do on the Startup Slingshot.
It is definitely worth rearranging the schedule.
Yes. Yeah. We had like we had in the pre-interview, you had a couple students come by, you had to rearrange things, and we appreciate that because in this episode, I want you specifically to help educate our viewers on what a value proposition is, something I teased in the introduction, and help equip them with the knowledge they need to craft a valuable proposition for their startup. Because if they tuned in last week, they saw Kevin Reddy, they saw him talk about how important it is to come up with and communicate a great product idea, but most importantly, being able to communicate it and differentiate it from others. So first off, let's talk about what a value proposition is. We know that you're according to Jim Beach, a previous guest, the value proposition guru. So can you tell us a little bit about what a value proposition is?
Well, if you Google it, there's all kinds of definitions out there, but I guess if I was going to summarize it, and it's really like comes down to what's your underlying magic, as Guy Kawasaki would say, or your secret ingredient, the thing that makes you special? What is that thing? You know, because I believe very strongly that when you start a business, there's got to be one thing that you do better than anybody else in the world. And what is that thing? What's the thing that, when people leave you, they go, wow, they remember that one special thing about you that differentiates you from everybody else. You know, that's what I think of when I think about value proposition.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Now, when are we going to be using this? I mean, we'll go into how to create one a little bit later, but we're kind of setting up the stage here to make sure people will continue to pay attention. So we have to communicate to them why this is important. So how are we going to use this value proposition and when are we going to use it?
See, and I take a different approach than some people, because some people will talk about value propositions in terms of maybe networking and, you know, have that good elevator pitch crafted so that you can talk to people. And for me, I'll take it deeper than that, because I think your value proposition is used in everything about what you do. Like, it's part of your company DNA. It's part of who you are. It's part of what you believe, what you do, why you do it. And people resonate with that, and they can sense that. And that's one thing that you can't outsource. You know, like DNA, that I can't outsource a value proposition or my beliefs about what's special about us. You know, I can outsource execution. I can hire execution. But that part becomes uniquely mine.
Gotcha. So you can't outsource it. It's this core value that kind of gets blended in with everything you do, whether it's how you execute specifically or even other marketing materials, how you're communicating, that type of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what's before we go into how to create one, how do we know or how can we tell the difference between one that is finely crafted, one that would be crafted by Chris Hanks, and one that's poorly crafted and might be crafted by me?
Well, I'll give you a simplistic answer to that. Maybe like, okay, what's the, like, after you're finished talking to the person, do they have goosebumps? Like, goosebumps always sell. You know, and so if I can get you so excited and transfer my enthusiasm for what I'm doing to you, you want to talk to me. And that enthusiasm is contagious, and people want to be surrounded. People want to be part of your management team. Suppliers want to work with you. Investors want to fund you. And so for me, like, what it's not so much the wordsmithing of it, but it's the power. And when I'm talking, like, because one thing that that helps me sleep better at night, because I do so much speaking and so much talking, sometimes my execution is sloppy. But if your intentions are pure, then your execution can be sloppy. So, like, my value proposition, yeah, I may mess up a word, and I'm not worried about the perfect sentence structure. But when I walk away, what's the emotional wake that I'm leaving that person? What's the one thing that they're going to remember? How are they going to feel about that conversation that I just had about my business? That's more important than, okay, what was the correct grammar? And they should have used this word as opposed to that word. That's not as important.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Now that the audience and I know and understand what a value proposition is, why it's important, let's actually walk through. You got me kind of excited over here to think about the goosebumps effect, the power that we can leave people with. Where do we even get started though with regards to creating a powerful goosebump causing value proposition?
There's several exercises. There's several ways to get there. And so what I typically do with people is we're gonna try to identify, okay, the thing that excites you the most, the thing that, you know, like first of all, you've got to have vision. You know, you just got to have the vision. So we'll work a lot on defining the vision of success for your business. What is it that you believe in? One of my favorite Simon Sinek quotes is, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. did not have an I have a plan speech. You know, it was I have a dream. You know, what is your vision? Because vision, you know, because I've got to see something. And there's people who see and then believe, and there's people who believe and then see. Mm-hmm. And so I've got to have a vision. So I'm going to work with people on that vision, because they've got to – there's a saying in the venture capital community that an entrepreneur has to drink their own Kool-Aid. You know, I've got to believe – it's got to be part of me first. So I'll do a lot of work to, because if you're just saying words, it's got to be part of you. And so for me, the first step goes back to your vision of success, why this is important to you, why you think you're doing something great. And so after I work on all that piece, which there's a lot of levels to that, then we'll start structuring it, because there's certain components with a value proposition that make it memorable.
Gotcha. Before we go on to that, let's reemphasize this. It's kind of defining your vision of success, like you're saying, that I have a dream versus I have a plan, but maybe even, like, say, tying it into a bigger movement, maybe around the world or something that you're a part of. So, for instance, I can think of an organization in Nashville called rentstuff.com, and they're part of this collaborative consumption movement. So it's part of this use less goods, use less materials, buy less products, but still have an enjoyable life. So they are creating a product or a platform that helps push that movement. Is that something that ties into kind of defining your vision of success?
I think so, if it's real, because sometimes we say things, but that's not real to us. Like, you know, I am changing the world one customer at a time. Come on, that's just something, a trite saying. That's not something you really believe. So I often ask, there's a whole series of questions that I'll ask, but one of them is, okay, why did you get out of bed this morning? And why should anybody care?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so, like, if it's a rallying, like, if I really believe that, no, wait a minute, I am changing customers' lives. I am doing good. I'm excited about this, you know, because cause is the greatest driver of employee loyalty. You know, people don't get burnt out by it's not workload that tires us. It really isn't. It's meaningless work that tires us out. If we got to have a sense of purpose, a cause about us. And so if it's real, and I'll challenge them, and we can all define, we all have very different definitions of what success means to us. But I want that to be crystal clear, you know, in the management team's mind, and have that belief system resonating through that. And then we can move on to the other part.
Gotcha. So a vision, it's a belief system, has to be real. What's the next step?
So then I want to start thinking about the things that make it memorable, because a lot of times we can come up with really, you know, well-crafted, something that we think is really, really impressive to put on a website, but nobody remembers it. Like one of the ones that I give out in lectures and stuff like that is Wendy's. I think Wendy's is funny because, you know, theirs is, you know, we deliver superior quality products and services for our customers and communities through leadership, innovation, and partnership. You know, and that sounds so great on a website, and that's a lot of nice words, but really, people aren't you don't work for Wendy's and think about innovation and partnership. You know, you're in line at Wendy's and you want a number one. You know, you want a biggie fry. You know, so to me, that's just so, like, okay, that was a good wordsmithing by their HR department, but that has just no validity. And it's not simple. It's not easy to remember. So one of the things is, okay, now, okay, based on what you believe, and I know there's a whole bunch of things, what's the one thing, because I like the James Carville statement when he was advising President Clinton in the campaign. You know, he was famous for coining the phrase, it's the economy, stupid. You know, when Clinton said, well, we're going to focus on this and health care and the economy and NAFTA and all that, he's like, you know, if you've said three things, you've said nothing. What's the one thing that you need people to remember? It's the economy, stupid. You know, so like so ease. We need something very easy for us to rally around. Something that could be repeated, not something that, hey, that sounded really great, but if you ask me a week later and I'm telling you telling my wife about your business, I need to be able to articulate it very quickly. You know, not saying, gosh, there's something about quality products and leadership and innovation, but I don't really know what they do.
Right.
That's not powerful.
Right. So keeping it memorable, keeping it simple, easy to remember, like you said, the one thing. It's the economy, stupid, versus, these are great examples, versus Wendy's, which is four sentences, not believable, try to be authentic, but probably not real or realistic. What else should we be thinking about at this stage of coming up with our value proposition?
Well, a lot of times what makes it memorable is something, you know, like, If I can do something that's counterintuitive or something that's unexpected, you know, like say something like, you know, entrepreneurship is ideal for people who hate risk. Well, that sounds really weird. Okay, I want to learn more about that. You know, so if that's part of my belief system, which it is, that might be a way to sort of intrigue somebody in a conversation. So things that are unexpected and breaks an audience's guessing patterns tends to sort of, you know, be more memorable, you know? So is there something about my company, like I do, you know, estate planning, and that's exciting. Really? No, not so much. I don't think so. Yeah, the way we approach it, oh, it's so awesome, and here's why. So there's something inherently counterintuitive that's going to distinguish what you're saying in my mind and make it easy for me to remember.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. Something counterintuitive. We're thinking through how we're expressing ourselves, and we can start by thinking, it seems, how other people in our industry are expressing themselves, and then we can either go a different way, be a bit unexpected, or even be a bit counterintuitive to help us stick out. But again, it has to be real. It has to be authentic.
Yeah. And it also has to be tangible. You know, something very tangible or concrete or something I can actually define. You know, because I don't get excited. Like if I say, my goal is to make you successful. Successful is kind of vague versus, hey, you know what? If you join my CEO group, there is no way that you're going to get at least 129% increase in net profit within 1 year, because nobody's ever joined my group and achieved less than that. So instead of me saying, I'm going to make you successful, I'm going to define, that's real. I can measure that. I can get excited about that. That's tangible to me. As opposed to, again, you know, something when we like to say very vague things. We are the premier provider of this. We are a full service firm. I don't know what premier means. I don't know what full service means. Talk to me in a way that I get it, that I get excited about it. Because I can't get excited about abstract thinking. Give me something tangible that I can find and put my arms around. That's exciting to me.
Yeah, and just doing something like that is in itself unexpected, because we see all these others, value propositions, like you're saying, that are the premier provider, a full service firm, that type of stuff.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and so if I've got that piece, then I'm focused on, you know, like one thing that I've got to really guard. And it's tempting with value propositions because people tend to exaggerate, but the credibility is really, really key. So, you know, things that, okay, if I say that, you know, we are the international leader in this, well, you're not. You're a startup. You've been around for like less than 2 years, you know. So the credibility piece becomes really, really important. If I can offer some evidence, some kind of proof that I'm actually who I say I am, and my company does what I say it does. Like if I can say, and by the way, you know what, Home Depot gave us a letter of intent because they're so excited about what we're doing. And they gave us a letter of intent. They want to order at least $500,000 worth of product. You know, something to enhance credibility. And I've always got to be on guard to protect my credibility. You know, because if I lie to you about one thing and you catch me in that lie, then everything else I say, you know, you're going to question. And there's going to be a doubt in your mind. And everything else I talk about, you're kind of wondering, okay, is that part true or not? So for value proposition, like, there's another component that I'll really work on is the credibility aspect. How do we boost it? How do we protect it?
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. So when we're trying to boost it or demonstrate our credibility, it seems like the example you gave is we're going to utilize third parties to actually help boost our credibility. So like you said, Home Depot gave us this deal. We're this person's preferred provider for this. We're doing that. But then on the other end, we're protecting it. So we're not overpromising. We're not saying something we're not, because it'll come back and hurt us in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And another thing that I'm huge into, and it kind of ties into sort of what I said about the goosebumps. You know, analytics don't give you goosebumps. Pie charts don't give you goosebumps. You know, so it's got to be emotional. Like, literally, you cannot think analytically and emotionally at the same time. I've got to get there, like, in a value proposition. Yeah, I got time to give you spreadsheets, and we can talk analytics. But when I'm delivering my value proposition, there's got to be an emotional component to this. I've got to get their hearts before I get their minds. And I want to be very emotional. You know, I like the Mother Teresa quote, you know, if I look at the masses, I won't act. But if I focus on the one, I will. You know, because, like, you know, when you look at the huge problem statistically of poverty, how can one person affect that? But you know what, that one kid, I can do something for that one kid. So emotional, it's got to be very, very emotional. And I'm going to get what I care about and what I'm passionate about, and I'm going to link, okay, what's in it for you, and why should you be as passionate as I am about what I'm doing? Here's what's in it from you. Because they don't care about, you know, like, I won a Small Business of the Year award, I did this, I did that. They don't care. They can get emotional about that. So what's in it for them? How can I make their life better because I exist?
Gotcha. Can you give us maybe an example of how you would express something like that?
So, like, so for example, I might do something like if I'm focusing on an audience, and I guess the most common example, since I deal with so many people raising money, you know, I got to think about it from my audience perspective and what's in it for them. What's the biggest thing? They're not going to care about the same things I do, but they can care greatly of, hey, you know what, how I get emotional? Yeah, there's a return on investment. Yeah, I'll talk about that. For sure there's a return on investment. But I'm going to make them look really good at the next cocktail party because they're going to have a story to talk about. I'm going to make them, if it's a restaurant that I'm raising money for, I'm going to have a VIP table there always with their name. And you know what? I will deliver you, your favorite thing is chicken wings. You love chicken wings? Fantastic. Always free chicken wings. And the angel investor can afford their own chicken wings, but it's the point, I'm making them feel important. I'm getting an emotional connection, something that's powerful to them, you know, something that's in it for them, a cause that they care about. How do I align mine with it, you know, whether it's maybe there's a certain charity that these folks are really into. Okay, great. I'm going to support that. If we work together, here's how we'll support your cause and your charity. So I'm going to link our two visions of success.
Now, are we changing this value proposition as we go from person to person based on what their interests are?
You're tailoring it for sure.
Okay.
Now, there's certain core belief that I'm not changing. And sometimes you're like, you know what? And you want to be clear, and like, some people are afraid, like, look, I want to change my value proposition, and I need to change my value proposition because, you know, I'm worried that this guy won't like me, or this customer won't like me, or whatever. And sometimes it's good to be really, really clear and stand firm, so that way the people who believe what you believe line up right behind you, and the people who don't, they get out of the way. And sometimes the temptation is, with value proposition, water them down so they appeal to everyone. You know, like, premier provider does not offend anyone versus, you know, we're the best. We are the best with working with college students between 20 and 24. We are the best at that. Right. You know, like, so, you know, we wa- water it down to a point. But so I'm big on taking a stand, and you know what, there's certain things that I'm not going to change. But an audience, one audience member may care about, or one person I'm talking to cares about this aspect of my business. The other person, I don't think they care about that as much, but they care about this. So I'm going to tailor it accordingly.
Gotcha. So you have this core fundamental beliefs, like you're saying, that are real, that are authentic, but you're adapting it, the outliers, the external factors that don't affect those, to tailor your message to get the emotional rise, to get the goosebumps, to land the deal.
Absolutely.
What about when we're actually communicating this? So we're starting to structure it and put it together, but what happens, what should our viewers or listeners think about when they're actually talking, when they're actually communicating? Is there anything they can do with their voice or hands, or is there anything they should be thinking about?
Yeah, voice, well, and it's scary for me since, again, I speak so much, but people remember so few of your words in comparison to body language and tone. So it's not about, and a lot of people, like if we're going to take the traditional elevator pitch format where you say, you know, I've got 60 seconds to deliver this, and then they just talk faster. And I'm tempted to do that sometimes too. And because we've got all this information that we want to cover. But really, that's not the key question. It's not how much information do I have to cover. It's what do I want my audience to remember? And so I've got to pause. I've got to use tone. I've got to emphasize certain words. So if I'm structuring it, one thing I've got to have is crystal clarity about what it is I do. There can't be any kind of real ambiguity on, okay, that was a great pitch, but I still don't know what you do. You deliver superior quality of products, but what kind of product? What do you mean? What is it you do for a living? So I want that clarity, but really briefly, clear and powerful, like within 20 seconds, I got to know what you do.
Gotcha.
So that's going to be part of my structure. You know, so I can't say, well, that was great, but I don't get what you do. Unless there's a hook there. You know, some people use the cute little hooks, and sometimes that works. Meaning, like, I'm going to intentionally hold that back because I want you to ask me a question. Hmm. Like, I'm a fundraiser for the government. You are? Well, yeah, I'm an IRS agent. Oh, okay. You know, so you get that little icebreaker kind of thing. You know, so I've seen people do that, and that's fine. But usually, like, if I'm trying to communicate, hey, well, what is it you do? What does your company do? I'm going to be brief. I'm going to be crystal clear on what I do, and I'm also going to be compelling and provocative whenever I can. I want to be real compelling. I don't want to be considered a Me Too business. I do it just like everybody else. There's something unique and differentiated about me and how I do it, and that's going to be emphasized during the pitch.
Makes a lot of sense. So crystal clear, what are we communicating in here? Although obviously we're staying brief, we're going to be compelling and provocative. What else are we communicating in this crystal clear message? We talked a little bit about who we are, what we do. Is there anything else we need to be covering in there?
Yeah, well, if we're structuring the pitch, so to speak, in a traditional manner, like usually people want to know about the problem and the solution that you offer. Like, what's the problem that you remove from the marketplace, and what how do you solve that in a unique way? And then I want to know a little bit about your market and a little bit about your management team. That's a good structure for if I'm communicating value proposition, if I'm talking to an investor.
Mm-hmm.
Problem, solution, market, and then management team. That's a really good structure for communicating to investors because that tends to be, okay, that's what I want to know. So in each area, I'm going to use those components. Okay, I'm going to keep it easy. I'm going to keep it tangible. I'm going to use all those components we talked about. But okay, I'm going to structure it this way because I need to talk about all four areas really because that's really what the investor wants to know. How big is my market? You know, who's my management team? Because they say, you know, sometimes they bet on the jockey, not the horse.
Right.
So I need to communicate that in my pitch to these guys.
What about if we're talking to potential customers?
So customers, like, okay, how do you, what's the one thing that you could say that makes it an absolute, like they go to bed thinking, I'm crazy if I don't do business with them. What's the thing? What is that thing? And I'm going to be very clear and upfront about that. Like their biggest problem or pain that I feel like is in their mind, and I'm going to structure my pitch around, you know what, that's what we do. So like if I feel like if I'm talking to you, like I do some CEO coaching, and if I'm talking to you and say, well, I think that he's really struggling and he's worried about his profits, then I might say, like, look, you know, you're going to join my group and you will not get less than 129% increase in net profit. There's no way possible because you would be my least performer, and I don't think that's you. That's kind of, okay, yeah, you can talk about how, when we meet, if what kind of awards we want or whatever, but now I'm going to hit you with right away with what I think your biggest problem or pain is and how I remove that. Because if I remove that pain for you or that problem for you, you'll pay me money for that.
Gotcha. That makes a lot of sense. You're being very custom into who you're customizing the message, who you're talking to. You're tailoring it to them and the product that they have. But again, if you're going after the same subset of customers, then the same product or value proposition is going to be for all of them.
Right. Absolutely.
What else should we be thinking about if we're actually going back to actually trying to articulate it with regards to how we're standing, how we're talking? You know, it seems like when you talk, even though we can't see each other, you're expressing emotion through your voice. Is this something that the people listening to this should be thinking about as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, because, again, we remember tone more than we do words, and we remember body language more than we do words. And people got to get the sense that it's not just a sales line or a pitch. You know, it's not just me talking the company line. It is something that I believe, and it's something that I'm excited about because that attracts people. I mean, it has this sort of magnetic effect, you know. And a lot of times people can't articulate it. They can't be like, if you're talking to an investor or a customer and they go, you know, I really like that guy. Well, why? I don't know. There's just something about their business. I want to learn more. So they won't necessarily say, well, gosh, their tone and the structure of the pitch was so awesome. And they don't know. And that's fine. Like, you know, we all go to places that have an awesome value property. Like, we may have a favorite restaurant, and you say, why is that your favorite restaurant? I don't know. I just really like it. It fits me. I just like it. You know, because we can't necessarily communicate these things sometimes, but we just know that, you know what, for that target market, I'm resonating powerfully. They're mine. They're my loyal customer because I'm resonating with them in a way that other businesses aren't.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. This has been super helpful. We've outlined a ton of great stuff that the viewers or the listeners of this program can take back, they can rewind, they can fast forward, they can check it out. Is there one thing that we missed that you feel like we need to drive home before we log off today?
Let's see. Well, the only other thing, I guess, as far as like what makes crafting a value proposition powerful that I'll just sort of leave with, the one thing that we didn't talk about, I guess, is there a story that illustrates how you do what you do better than anybody else? And if so, is there a way I can articulate it very briefly? Because sometimes we remember stories way better than we remember, you know, statistics and information. So if we can illustrate a story, that can be powerful.
Yeah, give specifics. So, it seems like your example of raising the net profits 129%, if you gave a specific example and talked through with that person
absolutely.
About someone in the same position as they were a year ago, then that'd be very impactful.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you say, you know what, let me tell you, like, what's different about us because, okay, here's our – Carl is a client of ours, been a client for 15 years, and, you know, his server broke down, and we were there for 26 hours straight because he had a deadline. That's the kind of business that we had. So you didn't really, like, go into detail about, you know, how long you've been in business or what awards you won, but you're telling a story that illustrates your commitment to clients. You know, so those kinds of things can resonate powerfully, and I'll remember – we all remember stories way better than we remember facts.
Yeah, that's a great point, and that's a great piece to drive home and to close it out. If the people want to find out more information about you or follow you, how can they connect with you online?
Just Hanks, H-A-N-K-S, at uga.edu.
Gotcha. They can email you all sorts of questions. I hope you get bombarded with questions for giving out your email address, all intelligent questions, I'm sure, from this audience. To all the viewers or the listeners out there, if you're interested in this, if you got any value from it, Chris and I want to suggest that you copy or want to get you to copy and paste the link in the URL inside an email and pass this along to either a friend of yours, an entrepreneur that you know, maybe a family member that's looking to start a business or has recently started one, and pass this along. One, you're going to look like a very smart person. You're going to look like a caring person. And two, we're going to appreciate it because we're going to be flying all over the interwebs via email, and you're going to be able to share this information with all sorts of people and have a positive impact on their business. So To all the viewers and listeners out there, I appreciate your time. And Chris, I appreciate you for coming on the show today.
No, hey, thank you so much for having me. Really, really enjoyed it. And I appreciate the opportunity.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you.